hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi. Meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a restaurant. Call me private label, I'll be leaving.
Hey there, episode 152 about to be in the books tonight. Thanks everybody for tuning in to the Permaculture Pimpcast, where we discuss permaculture preparedness and practical living. How you doing, honey?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. You got to make sure you got your cues on tonight. Hey, before we went live, she said, don't ask me any questions. that's one heck of a podcast right there.
You put me on the spot.
That's the point. You're supposed to be. This is a podcast. And speaking of which, y'all, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from Two Old Crows Homestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! You got it right, honey. Way to go. Now we got to make sure we get the stay alert, stay alive part together. Well. It's all good. I'll cue you. Heaven's Harvest also, y'all. I mean, look around you right now. Look, I know it's that time of year where there's a lot of holiday things going on, but at the same time, believe it or not, one of the gifts you might want to give somebody is some storable food. I mean, how cool would that be? You know, hey, in that stocking over the... Put some rice and beans.
Put some dehydrated potato soup and a soup mix in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. If you can't do that, go get some Heaven's Harvest and then send it all out to your favorite person that you know ain't doing squat to prepare themselves for what's unfolding right now. I know there's a lot of prognosticators of doom out there, and I'm trying not to be any of them. I'm wanting to absolutely positively make sure everybody is squared away. But you know what? That would be a pretty good gag gift for everybody. Actually, it might be an actual real good actual gift is to give somebody some beans and rice or get them some dehydrated food. I remember when I was in the Middle East, I was over there not long, we were just married and I was in the Middle East. And I was asking her, hey, send me some stuff. What did you send me?
I don't know, I specifically asked you, what do you want? Because I don't know. I didn't know what to send you. And I'm like, okay, it's going to take like 3 weeks to get there. It's going to be in bad shape when it gets there. So I was pretty limited. You gave me no direction either.
And what did she send me? Dehydrated food.
No, I didn't send you dehydrated.
You might as well send me MREs, honey.
I did. Yeah. It was a little better than that.
All the guys, all my soldiers were like, dude, for real, your wife's got one awesome sense of humor. I was like, yeah, I was the only
I wasn't
one not
trying
laughing.
To be funny. I didn't know what to send. I'm like, it's gotta last through the shipping process.
Yeah, well, it was a thought that matters. And those guys got a real good laugh out of that. And speaking of who's not laughing is her little critter on the outside of this door. So if you hear any yapping, you know the reasons why. So think about it, though. Heaven's Harvest, should you require any, they got some bomb seeds. They got some really good everything, y'all. I mean, all the things you can't source yourself. Think about getting it over there. 10% off with promo code PERMA. And also, if you would like to, remember, you can listen to us on the audio version, which is going to be on the Fountain app. Listen to it in any player where you can listen to podcasts. And you can check us out there. But over on the Fountain app, you can triple up the speed if you like. And if you'd like, you can drop us a derivation of Bitcoin called sats. Yeah, they got another name for them, but I mess it up every time. So we're going to call them sats. So if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, you know where to do it. Over on the Fountain app. Want to give a shout out to everybody. Did I say that right? Everybody that's in the live chat right now. Thanks, everybody. Saw one earlier from Nebraska. And hey, as always, hit the thumbs up so they know to suppress us even more. Got to have that. All right, so we're going to jump straight into farm news. Going through now, this is going to sound a little counterintuitive if you've ever watched any of our videos about how we stockpile forage and stuff like that for the winter. Okay, yeah, that's what we do. But also at the same time, if you have bad spots in your pasture, you can also, and what I mean by bad spots, let me qualify that. If you got, let's say, like for example, we got a patch of blackberry. Okay, and it's really bad, and it's just one patch. Well, try this little trick because it works. If you're running ruminants through there anyway, the only reason that blackberry's there 9 times out of 10 is because it's been overgrazed, it's been abused, and it needs to be recovered. One of the tricks we do is Greg Judy 101. Throw some good hay down on there, and we got some really, really great hay. Throw some hay down on there. Let them eat it. They're going to eat what they want. Let them trample it in, poop and pee and do all the things they do. And then when you see what happens in the following year, might just blow your mind. And it's also going to wake you up to the fact that a lot of these methods out there, they're easily acquired. Another little holiday gift, go give somebody a Greg Judy book, a Joel Salatin book, because it's not just books about pasture management and stuff like that. It's really a lot of life lessons in a lot of these things.
Yeah, so. especially Greg Judy, Joel Salatin. They both have kind of the same perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah, and they're both cheap as all get out.
Yes, yeah. That's what I was talking about.
No, I love them both. Don't get me wrong, but they're working from a mindset that I think that all of us could and should absolutely benefit from. And what I mean, you could almost, it's akin to the depression mindset that my grandmom had.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't just end with your grandmother, because my grandmother and grandfather were the same way, but it impacted their kids, and it impacted so much that, like, even I have practices from just my mom.
Yeah. Like things that I hadn't seen when I married her. I remember how the tea bag thing.
Oh,
where,
well, yeah.
She would reuse tea bags just like my grandmom used to do. And I mean, nothing ever went to waste. But anyway, these guys hit all this from a perspective, and I think it's a really good one. It's from a frugal, you could almost call it frugal pasture management or frugal farming, which is really what farming should be anyway, where nothing's really going to waste. And if you really get down to brass tacks, you don't hear them throw the word around much, but it really is permaculture. It's just another means. When we say permaculture, y'all, view it as a toolbox. That's what it is. It's a list of methods, techniques, you know, all these different things that you can do to solve the mission. But going right back to the pasture management, man, if you want one of the surefire ways, now we have a way that in addition to that is basically taking a bunch of compost extract,
right,
and using it in combination with this. And our pastures, we're doing in a season what it ordinarily would take a couple of years to do. And that's part of what we're covering on YouTube also. So we're going to go into more and more of that as things go by. So, well, you started a new project. We both began it yesterday, and it's right in the room next to us. You want to tell everybody what that's all about?
Microgreens. We started, I had grown some a few years ago, but then I don't know what happened. I got out of the habit of it. And I don't remember how this all started. I had some microgreen seeds left over. So we finally just got the supplies to start growing them. And here in a couple of days, hopefully all of them have sprouted.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Look, there's a whole lot of people thinking, oh my goodness, man, things cost a fortune. And if you want to know something that really costs a fortune, microgreens. But it is absolutely positively one of those things that you can grow no matter the space you live in. If you're in an apartment, you can do it. And it's super inexpensive to do the seeds and the whole. Yeah, the initial startup might cost you a little bit of money. But when you look at what they charge for, I mean, for crying out loud, if you look at what they charge.
Right. And you could probably do it with supplies that you have laying around if you're resourceful. Because the lights... We just, the video that we watched, the guy just used an LED light. So it's not like you have to go buy special grow lights to do it. I mean, you can use a light source that you have around the house.
Yeah, it doesn't need that full spectrum or that part of the spectrum that you would ordinarily get when it comes to a grow light. So all you Hooter Bandits out there, you might be able to, if all you Hooter Bandits are growing that two-story ganja in your house, you know, hey, in the words of the great Joel Salatin, you know, they're growing weed in national forests. You mean to tell me nobody ever thought about growing tomatoes? So if you're needing something to grow, and you think about the power punch that you get in terms of vitamins and minerals.
Right.
And now here's one of the little experiments, and we're going to unfold this on YouTube and probably give you a little bit more on Patreon. One of the things that we're doing is something of an experiment. So you got coconut core, the typical way to do it. And then the other way we're going to do it is we're going to take some of that seriously biocomplete compost that we got down there, and we're going to try some trays with it. Now, I'm thinking, I don't know that I have a way to test it, but I'm thinking that using the compost, well, first of all, I'm going to find out if it works. If it does, that's the way we're always going to do it, because those, if you know a little something about how things grow, let me put it this way. You're growing it in coconut coir, which basically is a medium that doesn't have a whole lot in terms of
nutrients. Right.
So if we can somehow, I don't know that anybody has ever done this, but we're going to do it. We're going to try it anyway. Okay. So the way it works, whenever a plant grows, when it grows, it shoots down for it to continue growing. It has to shoot down exudates into its roots, which basically feed the fungus and the bacteria, the beneficial stuff in the soil. And so that basically gets kicking the whole soil food web that's down there. Well, you don't have that if you're using straight up coconut coir. And I can't help but wonder, because the bacteria and the fungi unlock all the minerals that are in the aggregates in your soil, no matter where you are on this planet. That's how it works. So it's not nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus and stuff. The best way to go about this, so you're not in a cycle where you always have to add inputs, is if you can somehow make this compost, and we're showing you how to do it, and you have the bacteria and the fungi breaking this stuff down, unlocking nutrients that otherwise you wouldn't get, and they're able to bioaccumulate all that stuff in their leaves, and then you eat it. I mean, in addition to it just being food, very expensive food, by the way,
right?
It could also be a really, really awesome source of medicine. So, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, want to give a shout out, everybody in the chat. My man, Tag over there from Life Done Free. Go check him out, y'all. Does a lot of awesome stuff there. I even borrow some of his words from time to time. And, they do fantastic stuff.
Thank you, Kip. I appreciate that. I'm feeling much better.
Yeah. Honey, for the people, for the benefit of the people that are not watching live, you got to kind of repeat the question for the people that are going to be listening to the audio thing. So, yeah, if you have a question out there, she'll repeat it. And that's, I know everybody's in the chat here, but that's for the benefit of the people that might be listening to just the audio portion of it. Yeah, she got kicked, you know, basically by a mule the other day in terms of how you were feeling.
Yeah.
Just came on.
Yeah, it was just odd. I mean, I had just done a workout and I thought maybe, like, my stomach was upset just from the workout, but then it just went downhill from there. But it wasn't, I got over it quick. So it's all good.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I made her take is that we were out and about when this really started happening. And so I pulled over to a pet store and got her some ivermectin and basically got her off and running with that. Believe it or not, if you got the sweet and sour sniffles and you take some of that stuff, okay, I got to be real careful how I say this, because every time I turn around, in fact, I'm going to have to speak rather phonetic in some of the articles I got here, but you'll understand that here in a minute. Whenever I've taken that stuff, it was amazing how quickly it turns things around. And she's always kissing on that little critter of hers. I mean, both of them, the cat, the dog, the sheep. And I'm like, there ain't no telling what kind of bugs you got right now. So...
That's just parasites. That's not bugs.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think they are? Yeah. We don't need to be pulling no 3-foot tapeworm out of you.
I've got black walnut hull.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
That's one of the healthy ways of doing this. So, okay. In addition to that, wanted to give you all an update. Well, first of all, yeah. As far as what I've been doing today, still weed eating, turning this pasture into something that is going to be the envy of this entire county before long. And sometimes you got to put in, look, if you got animals that won't eat that invasive stuff, like Chinese silvergrass, the only thing we know that will eat it is a water buffalo. Well, yeah, ain't a whole lot of them running around North Carolina right now. So nothing else will eat it unless it's in a very, very young state. So when you have something that's almost semi-woody like that, or any number of other thorns and stuff like that, the benefit of having goats like that is that their life cycle, it's not like grass where an animal will eat a piece of grass and then give it time. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. And then it's back in the saddle again. Well, if you were to graze your thorny things the way we graze grass, it would all be gone. It can't live. Its life cycle, you're basically hitting it too hard before its life cycle can do anything about it. That's the benefit of things like goats when you're dealing with stuff like that. Well, things like this silvergrass are the same exact way to a certain extent. I found that if I stay on top of it and you can run animals on top of it when it's very, very young. They will eat it and they will stun it. And at the same time, it's only there because, thanks to our genius over here, because she discovered that this stuff really loves a highly compacted, highly bacterial area. Everywhere that we've turned to highly fungal, which, by the way, your pastures, you want to be about 50-50 fungal and bacteria. Everywhere we've turned it and made it fungal, that stuff just doesn't come back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's finding out what those, what everybody calls an invasive species, y'all. I guarantee there's something it doesn't like. Here's another little way I've dealt with it. So another thing this silvergrass can't stand is shade. So if you're somehow, find out whatever this thing is you're calling invasive, and then find out what it doesn't like. So if it can't stand shade, maybe I want to make a food forest there. You dig? Maybe I want to go ahead and find some way. Maybe this is what you had in mind for it, but because you got some element over there that's growing that you don't want, maybe just create the conditions that the thing that is invasive is not going to like.
Right.
So that's exactly what I did down front when I was first trying to figure out how to deal with this stuff. I'm like, all right, well, it doesn't like shade, so let me go ahead and make a food forest down there. That's exactly why that food forest is in the area it is, because it was something of an experiment when we first got here to figure out how to deal with this highly, highly invasive clumping grass that nobody seems to have an answer for. And as far as I know, we're the only ones actually successfully dealing with it. And maybe that's something, as soon as I get, not going to know 100% sure that all these methods are working. Actually, I am pretty doggone sure, but I need a testimony. You can literally see the demarcation. Am I wrong? From our property to the east and to the neighbor, the Chinese silvergrass literally stops at the fence.
Both sides, really. Not just.
We have a couple of patches where we let it get away from us, but we're going to catch up on it. So just keep in mind, moral to the story there, find out what that invasive thing hates and then create. It may not be what you wanted necessarily, but it might be the solution to get rid of that thing. So if it hates shade, make a food forest. That was my solution, and it seems to be working quite well. So on to the next thing. Want to give a report on, now, if you've been on Patreon, I'll give you the cliff notes here. I've been doing a whole lot of research, and I mean a whole lot of research when it comes to these cell phones and things like it, okay, and ways to mitigate whatever problems are going on there. So one of the solutions I came up with, at least for when we're sleeping, obviously all the things I talked about before, as far as turning off the Wi-Fi, turning off your phone, put it on airplane mode, put it in a Faraday bag, because just like I showed you today, it was in airplane mode, but I was still getting texts. How's that possible? So even though that thing's in airplane mode, does not render it safe. So just keep that in mind. So one of the ways I've been talking a lot about grounding, and I wanted to give a report concerning what I've been doing at night. And one of the things is I use these grounding sheets, and particularly I got a grounded, what do you want to call that thing? Like a fitted sheet?
Right.
Yeah, it's grounded and it's from Redemption Shield. And we configured this thing 30 ways to Sunday. I've tested it. It works brilliantly. It works great. Give everybody, how's your sleep now? Because she's somebody who's been struggling every time you turn around. She had a bad night's sleep. How's your sleep been?
Since we got the sheet figured out and worked out, it's been great. I haven't had any issues.
Now, one thing I did find out, and it may be exclusive to us, because I spoke to Gina, who owns Redemption Shield, and told her about the phenomenon that was going on. Now, if you're a person that has a whole lot of bugs going on the inside, you may have what's called a Herx reaction. And when you do some of this stuff, you may feel a little bit weird and, you know, just crazy at first. I suspected that might have been what was going on with her, but I also suspected that when you have, I'm a journeyman electrician, been one for a long, long time. I wondered that when you have metal on one side, a human body in between, and metal on the top side, that you could inadvertently be making yourself a capacitor. And I was like, okay, you did not sleep at all when we had all the sheets on there. Yeah.
It was like, as soon as I laid down,
you felt charged.
Like my brain was just racing.
Yeah. So what I did, and I'm telling everybody that doesn't know, you can go ahead and go with the whole kit and caboodle where you got a fitted sheet and then the sheet on top. Remember, it's not going to be real smooth because this stuff has got silver threads in there. But as soon as I took the sheet off and left the fitted sheet, how's your sleep been?
Yeah, it's been much better. It's night and day difference.
I don't ever remember you sleeping this well.
Yeah.
Because if I just move just a little bit, I mean, she's such a light sleeper, it'll drive you nuts. You do the slightest and let one critter make the slightest whimper in the middle of the night, and she's jumping out of that doggone bed. And I'm like, what is going on, man? You think the place was on fire. But anyway, this is exactly what I'm talking about in terms of the experiments that we're doing. So if you want to give it a shot, I'm going to recommend, and all I have is the empirical evidence that I've gathered under this roof concerning this, is either pick one or the other, okay? I feel like I'm making myself a capacitor, or at least she was, because I did okay. But she slept like $1 million with just the fitted sheet, and that should be more than sufficient. So if you need one, just remember, go over to Redemption Shield. Promo code PERMA is going to add another 10% to the 20% they already got going. So yeah, we can get you squared away over there. So here we are rolling up on the holiday. And folks, holler if you hear me in the chat, because for some reason, everywhere I go, this, what do I call it? Christmas spirit just seems to be absent right now. Mm-hmm. What's your thought of it? I mean, you don't get out near as much. I mean, she almost never leaves, but.
I guess I know that our local grocery store, they always play the most annoying songs to begin with. And now they're playing the most annoying Christmas songs out there. But that's about the only.
Hey, okay, I'm just going to keep it real. Whoever decided that it was a great idea to play thugged out versions of Christmas classics, you know, I don't need to hear, you know, you got Bing Crosby, you got all these other people that have kind of stylized this music to the point where it's kind of what you expect, you know. You know, I know there are other versions, like in the Army, we did Winter Wonderland. It was like, through the fields I was watching, on the mic I was talking, turned my night scope on and shot 6 before dawn, walking through a sniper wonderland. I mean, things like that. But now they got this thugged out version where I was getting gas and they were playing it over the thing. This was the slowest version of Silent Night has ever been recorded.
Yeah.
And it's like a thugged out version. How do you turn Silent Night into I mean, it was like, really? Am I hearing this? I'm sitting over here busting out of the gas pump. And I look inside, she's inside the truck, and I'm like, am I hearing this? Am I hearing this? It's like So anyway, I guess if there's some Christmas cheer, there you have it. But it also reminds me of a story that from years ago, when I was working as I took this maintenance job at a VA hospital in Leavenworth, Kansas. And there was a guy I worked with named Mike, and he came into a little bit of money. Now, it wasn't a lot of money, but for him, it was a lot. And to his credit, you know, his kids were in school. This guy at the time, I remember, was in his late 50s, mid 50s, probably. And, he wanted to start a program at school, and I brought it up to you again the other day. And this dude, he meant well, but he wasn't all there. So at his kid's school, and we're talking like junior high, he wanted to start a program where he feeds the kids. And I thought, man, that's great. And he was asking me, because, you know, at the time I was still doing radio on the side. And he was like, man, can you guys promote this? And I'm like, well, I'll see what I can do. I said, you figure out a name for this thing? He said, well, we're going to think about it. And I'm saying, okay, well, we'll think about it. So a week later, we're getting closer to Christmas. And he tells me, man, he's just all beside, man, we came up with a great name for this. I'm like, well, what is it? He said, the boys came up with it. I'm like, cool, man. Let me know. We'll see what we can do about getting it on the radio. He said, yeah, we're going to call it Feed the Poor Kids Program. I'm like, hang on a minute. Hang on. I mean, really, what do you want to call this? He says, you know, all the kids, man, they just don't feel like they get enough to eat at this school. And, you know, if they want to go back for seconds, we're going to call it Feed the Poor Kids Program. I'm like, hold on, Mike, let's just walk me through this. You mean any of the kids at a junior high school are going to say, man, I'm still hungry. But hey, you know what? they got this thing called Feed the Poor Kids program. And I'm going to go up there and go get me another burger. And I tried it as gently as I possibly could. And yeah, I get it. There are times I can be about as subtle as a wrecking ball. And I was like, man, I don't know if they're going to go for that. He said, well, you think you can give me some airplay? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I don't think they're going to be so cool with me promoting something called Feed the Poor Kids program. Well, he goes to the school administrators and he's just as happy as can be. And they were struggling to try to, they're like, yeah, we'd love to be able to help, but
let's come up with a different name.
Yeah. And he was just appalled, appalled. I mean, what kid is going to say, hey, y'all, feeling pretty full today, ate on the poor, Feed the Poor Kids program.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I think about holiday cheer, I mean, I know his heart was in the right place, but this guy was so dense that he didn't realize that maybe we should call it. It's like, okay, like the one place called Feed the Children. It ain't called Feed the Poor Children. It's called Feed the Children. So, you know, Feed the Poor Kids program. That's what I think of about every single time this year. Okay. There you go for the locals, for the, I think somebody else had put some, I think Tag, but yeah, you better watch out. You better not pry. You better keep spending. We all must comply. Tyranny is coming to town. Yeah. That reminds me of that little Klaus Schwab thing they got going on right now. Hilarious as all get out. I mean, it's dark humor, but you know, the only thing that many of us have left in many ways is our sense of humor. So guess we better keep it up or we're all going to be on the Feed the Poor Kids program. All right, we don't have anything for Pastor Lon tonight. I wanted to give some of these guys a break because I know it's coming on Christmas and a lot of people celebrate this stuff. We don't. We're empty nesters anyway. And we've given some long thought about what we were going to do, and we were thinking about going to a shelter to Feed the Poor Bums program. No, I'm kidding. Hey, I'm kidding. I can see it right now. I'm done with you, you arrogant. No, anyway, we kind of bounced around some of those ideas. I think we're a little bit too late.
Yeah, I think you have to sign up for those a little earlier than a week before Christmas.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, my bad. No, that was really the plan at first, but you know, as all the things go on here, you know. Somebody says Feed the Fat Kids program. Who put that in there, Pete?
No, it was Rock Lick Ranch.
Well, I tell you what, there weren't a whole lot of kids getting chubby on that Michelle Obama program, man. They were feeding those kids almost. I remember this one kid I was working with in Texas. He had graduated. He was my apprentice, and he was literally showing me pictures of the food they fed him in high school. And it was a wonder these kids even, I mean.
What was it?
It was slop. I mean, this was slop, and you know, it was like, really? Come on, man. It was, I mean, I don't know. We ate so bad at home that when we ate at school, we actually thought it was pretty good. Yeah. So we thought school food was actually pretty good, but yeah, we were actually on the Feed the Poor Kids program too, but except back in those days, we procured most of the things we were eating ourselves with that five finger discount from 7-Eleven. Hey, I'm just keeping it real, y'all. That's what we did when I was a kid. Don't encourage it. All right. Before we get into the good news section, sponsor for the show, one of the new ones, y'all. And I'm really, really pleased with their stuff. Remember, advertisers, yeah, they hit us up all the time. And the answer is no, unless I reach out to them or unless I know 100% it's a product that works. I hit up all these people out there saying, oh, we got ways to mitigate cell phone this. We got ways to mitigate this. We got ways to ground you. And I hit them all up. Not one of them would allow me to not only test their product, but to release to you exactly the results. Redemption Shield, Gina at Redemption Shield, not only said, yeah, go for it. And if you find a problem, let me know. So I was like, okay, tested everything, tested out, did exactly as they said it would. Faraday bags that actually work, unlike those ones I got from InfoWars that don't work, which really, really burned me up. Those actually work. And I've shown you on camera how they do work. And then the ones that do kind of dampen the signal, we told you about those as well. Anyway, Redemption Shield, like I said, 10% off in addition to the 20. I kind of did that ad way early. But yeah, put in promo code PERMA, and that'll get you that additional 10% off. So it'll basically be about 30% off. And that's what I'm talking about. We got to look after each other, y'all. All right. So good news. It used to be bad news, good news, but check this one out. What giving as a lifestyle can do for your health and happiness and more. Okay. Number one, okay. Some of this stuff is going to seem self-evident, but we're in that time of year where everybody, I think, gives a little bit more. And even though some people are having a really rough time, you know, there's a number of us that still find a way to give. And remember, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Okay, number one, it obviously makes you healthy. Generosity makes you happy. And of course, they link. I can't get into all of it, but Harvard Business School and a number of others did tests on these to find out. It was funny because all of the people that were supposedly, as far as givers go, you would not believe this, folks. This stat really blows your mind, and there's a number of places that prove it. Believe it or not, the people on the left who are all about social justice and stuff, not that the people on the right are a whole lot better, but it turns out these people really don't give all that much, especially these so-called celebrities out there. Like that, who's that one singer from YouTube always has that blue glasses?
Yeah.
Bono.
Bono.
Boner. What's his name?
I don't think.
Bono.
Something like that.
Yeah, Bono. Whatever his case. Yeah. These people are out there telling you to break bread, but they don't give anything. Yeah. So just keep that in mind. Generosity lowers our stress, clearly. Generosity also improves our relationship. In fact, if you do any meditation, generosity and gratitude are something you really want to kind of focus on. Think about the things, no matter where you are. Look, if you live in the United States of Amnesia, you got, despite how jacked up it is, and it ain't what it was when I was a kid, you still got it better than most. So you got to find those little pockets of things that make sense for you. You also have the ability to wake up one day and decide, this is who I'm no longer going to be, and this is who I'm going to be. So a lot of that starts with, I think, generosity, gratitude, things like that, things you can channel in your mind and your heart. And every time I leave this house, every time I leave the house when I go to town, it's part of what I have to inoculate my. First of all, I'm going into Asheville, for crying out loud, y'all, which means I got to put on the full armor, if you know what I'm talking about. So not only do I have to do that, I have to go out there with the right mindset so I don't come out of there wanting to wrap everybody I see with a tack hammer. So obviously improves your relationships and it extends your life. And that's what a lot of people don't also consider, is that some of the most generous people, believe it or not, actually kick in quite a bit to their lifespan. So, yeah. So in this time of giving and everything, you know, just keep in mind, hey, you're getting some pretty awesome benefits just by being generous. So keep that in mind. Anyway, next article. Okay. I got to be real careful. I was trying to think, is there a phonetic way I can say this without getting myself dropped?
No.
I don't know that there is. So, Michelle, I'm going to ask you to not contribute just yet because, yeah.
I can't seem to
Say. She's not going to be able to work around this. So, even reading the headline might be tough. Okay, former Italian minister accused of murder for concealing data concerning the illness that cannot be named. There's a way of saying it. So let me say that again. Former Italian minister accused of murder for concealing information about the illness that cannot be named. And when you look at it, man, they are wanting to tar and feather this dude. They got a hold of his emails, come to find out. He, like so many others, knew exactly what was unfolding, did zero to evangelize that information to anybody out there. And we all know what the results are. So, but keep in mind, there are people out there that are coming up with mitigation strategies to lessen the impact. We've talked about some of those in the past, and I got to think this through before I reveal all of them, because it's a lot of these people are people that cannot be named in this forum. Sad, but unfortunately true. So we're probably going to have to come up with another way transmitting this stuff.
Yeah, there's words out there. I'll just have to pay attention to them.
Well, for example, like Wednesday, I got an episode coming up on Wednesday with a guy named Nathan Reynolds. This one, folks, I can't play it on YouTube, but he is an SRA. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
SRA survivor. If anybody knows what that is, please put it in the chat. He is an SRA survivor, and he wrote a book, and it's called Snatch from the Flames. And I had him on for an interview, and no way on earth could I play this live. And if you listen to it on Wednesday, it'll come out. It's like a bonus episode on Wednesday, just in time for the holidays, huh? And this thing is so over the top that there's no way I can play this on. No way. No. I'd ever get away with playing this on YouTube. And like I said, his name is Nathan Reynolds. Comes from the Reynolds family. And these people, look, you've heard us talk about V4CR. You've heard us talk about a number of things.
This is on a deeper level than just the typical.
It's generational,
right?
In this family,
it's bloodlines.
It's bloodline generational SRA. I'm just gonna say it, satanic ritual abuse. But he found his way into permaculture, and it's an incredible story. And we've only touched the tip of the iceberg. So part one, yes, thank you very much, Tag. SRA, that's what it stands for. And these people are big time into it. He comes from a generational bloodline family, and they're into some crazy stuff. And he was going to go further, but folks, this is not one you're going to want to miss, and that's going to come out Wednesday, but it will not be on YouTube, so you're going to have to look at that in the podcast platforms. All right, so we'll go into the third good news article. Former congressional candidate charged with vandalizing satanic temple display at Iowa Capitol. Folks, I got a weird take on this, and you might not like it. Okay, although I cannot applaud what he did, I understand. You dig? But as a person who has, look, this is the problem when you demand that no matter what your religious affiliation might be, that you want to put it into the Capitol steps, because now your opposition might very well do the same. This is exactly the same problem, and I said it from the word go, when everybody in the religious communities are out there talking about the sanctity of marriage and this and that, but you got the state involved. Remember, it's not a red state, it's not a blue state, it's the state against you. And every single time you decide to get the state involved in any matter, these are the problems you're going to have. So you're saying you don't want gay marriage. You're saying you don't want people marrying their horse like Caligula. Well, that's what you get for bringing marriage to the government in the first place. So even if you're doing it from a religious standpoint, I know some people are not going to like my stance on this, but I just got to keep it real. Whenever you're thinking about your offense, but you're not thinking about your defense, just keep it out of there to begin with, because now all of a sudden you got the state involved in marriage, and then it goes in ways that you're complaining about the way it goes when they should have never been involved in the first place. Take a look at that Constitution. Take a look at the Bill of Rights. Take a look at all of it, and you tell me where, okay, you could say essentially 10th Amendment. You tell me where this is governed and where you need a guy in a black robe to tell you that you're married. Why do you need that? Well, the same exact thing. Like I said, I understand what this guy did. But at the same time, what if somebody had a cross in there and then a satanic guy rolled in there, beat the cross down with a hammer? Now, what can you say to him? Because now all of a sudden you got the state involved in things they should never be. Look, I can go down a rabbit hole as far as separation of church and state. That's not at all what I'm getting at. And look at when Jefferson wrote about that. There's a little bit more to it than what Glenn Beck is telling you, okay? My point being is that when you involve the state in matters that they should not even be involved with, then you're going to have to deal with your opposition when they have their say. Because if you're saying, I got a cross, okay, if we're going to have a state house where all religions, okay, you're okay if somebody puts a, what do you call that candle with the seven things? A menorah. Okay, that's cool. Somebody puts a cross. That's cool too. And then let's say a Muslim rolls in, puts in a ziggurat, I don't know. And then all of a sudden everybody's going to trip. So you got to wonder, you got to ask yourself, if we're going to pull ourselves out of these levers of power, or what Tag calls for these people having stroke over you, you got to remove them from the equation to begin with. See what I'm talking about? I don't think I came out right, but anyway.
No, you did. I mean, yeah. What purpose does the government have in in anybody's marriage. Like, what other than to collect a tax? That's what they're.
That's it. That's it. When you get down to brass tacks, that's what it is for all this stuff. I mean, what, you know, how's it go? You teach a man to fish and he'll eat for the day. No, you give a man a fish, he'll eat for the day. You teach a man to fish, now he needs a fishing license. You dig? I mean, that's exactly how it goes. Why is the government involved in 90% of the things that we need licensing for? And it's the same exact thing. So like I said, look, I understand what the guy did, but they're going to put him in jail potentially for a year, right? Now, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but how many people went to jail when he tore down Robert E. Lee's statue?
Nobody.
How many people went to jail? Oh, by the way, they were tearing down people that were fought for the North. They tore down a statue of U.S. Grant, for crying out loud. Do you know it? Do you know what side he was on?
They weren't the smartest.
No. And you're tearing down all these Confederate. Well, close enough, even though it was called the blue and the gray. But like I said, how many of these people, they're going to throw that. Now, here's the part where I really kind of lose my beans on all this. So they're going to throw this guy into jail. How many cities were burned down? Nobody went to jail.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you walk through downtown Asheville, a lot of the businesses who had absolutely nothing to do with, they're just trying to make it like everybody else is. And they're all boarded up because these people went through and just completely smashed the windows of these businesses.
Remember that apartment complex that we looked at, and they burned that thing down to the foundation.
Yeah. Everybody complains about housing around here. They build an apartment building and it gets burned down.
But name one person they put in the clink and they know who did it. Now, that's the flip side of this whole thing. Like I said, get the state out of your life completely. You're going to be glad you did.
Yeah, including property taxes so we can actually own our homes.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what I'm getting. I mean, this stuff like that that'll get you thrown off of here, but Jimmy cracked corn and I don't care. Jimmy might be smoking crack and it's Jimmy's right to do it as far as I'm concerned, as long as Jimmy ain't hurting nobody else. But Jimmy, don't smoke crack, okay?
And Hunter and Joe don't.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. So the point of all this is, yeah, I can't. If you're gonna dog this guy, so now next time you see a lunatic lefty go in there and tear down the Ten Commandments, what argument are you gonna have? What argument are you gonna possibly have? But like I said, it sure is funny. You got to understand the world you're living in right now, folks. They're gonna throw this man in jail for a year potentially, but all the lunatics. There's a plaque on the way out to Hot Springs out here in North Carolina. And these lunatics, this plaque set, it was on something of an obelisk. And it was a Robert E. Lee commemoration thing. And by the way, folks, what you don't realize is that, okay, if you want to say, oh, it was about slavery, well, there was a lot of these people that fought and it had nothing to do with slavery, but that's another podcast altogether. Maybe I should one of these days talk about how Lincoln was not the wonderful guy you thought he was, okay? Yes, and I got the goods on that. In fact, maybe that'll be my little Christmas gift.
Not tonight, though. Maybe, okay. you just introduced a whole other.
Yeah, I'm going to break it down to where, you know what, you've been lied to about that dude as well, and a number of others through history, but that's another podcast altogether. Maybe I should do another podcast where I kind of blow holes with official sources. In fact, with Lincoln's own words into the story. But the point being, they tore down this plaque of Robert E. Lee. And every time I drive by there, all I can think about is how much I want to break my non-aggression principle to choke slam whoever did that. I would love, I mean, that thing's been sitting there for 100 and some years, and some idiot came up there with a crowbar, tore it down. Who even knows where it is right now? So, like I said, they're going to throw this dude in the clink, but not one person going in the joint for all the monuments that got yanked down.
Yeah.
They even tore down an entire monument here called the Vance Monument because this guy just happened to fight for what he thought was his country in the South. Zebulon Vance, I believe his name was.
Right.
And they created this obelisk and they tore it down because of these lunatics. Tore it down. But there's some real seedy history about all that stuff, too. All right, y'all. So That's my third good news article. I don't know if I turned that into good news or not. Yeah, I'm going to have to work on my good news understanding. All right, y'all, with that, before we get into the main topic, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider, with your tip of the day.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the right not to be in debt. Bill Mollison has spoken of the absurdity that the same house continually causes a lifetime of debt every time it is sold to a new owner, despite the initial materials being paid off, as well as the fact the house itself is a degenerating asset, but somehow continuously goes up in value. The fact that this is the keystone of the American financial system demonstrates how much of a change we must make to have an equitable society. Some of the most charming and climatically appropriate houses on earth are built without bank loans, architects, metals, concrete, or contractors. However, in every case, they are built in areas where trade unions, building surveyors, health officials, and local or state governments do not impede the home builder or the community providing shelter for themselves. Stone, mud, bamboo, round timbers, rope, thatch, and even baked brick and tiles are the age-old durable building materials of mankind. All can be locally produced if energy from community forests and people is provided. Even cement and mortar can be made if needed using kilns fired by wood, as can pottery, bricks, and roof tiles. None of this needs money if people work together. The real cause of a lack of shelter, as with food, in any country is not that of finance, but of restrictive practices by a regulatory bureaucracy. Moreover, state or private ownership versus community ownership of forests, small mines, and lands is devoted to state or corporate profits to support a largely urban, leisured class of bureaucrats, which denies these basic biological and earth resources to the very people who work to produce or mine them. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog. Hey, y'all, the regarding these houses and stuff like that, does anybody else find it curious that go down any interstate, no matter the state, you got, you know, it's cracked up, needs constant maintenance. How is it the Romans made roads over 2,000 years ago that are still in operation today? How do they build structures that still stand today using natural things that don't just disappear?
Right.
You know, there's a lot to be said there. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of arguments on either side of that issue. But really, when you get down to brass tacks, when you think about something like a home and our backwards way of thinking in so many different ways, and I'll give you a great, I mean, he's in the chat right now, you know, Tag built his home and he did it in a way that made sense,
right?
Not in the traditional way in which a home is typically built. And when you do a home that way, I mean, it can make all the difference in the world. That's why I've been so much of a fan of Earthship. And yeah, it's still in the cards, still going to be working on that kind of stuff, y'all. All right, before we get into the main topic here, I want to remind you, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Been a journeyman electrician for a whole lot of years. Part of why I know how to test a lot of this stuff, I've installed lots of transient voltage surge suppressors over the year, TVSSs, car plants, you name it, tire factories, you name it, all over this planet, well, all over this country, rather. I've installed these things, and nobody in the biz gives you a deal like EMP Shield. If it gets past, I mean, their deal is so ironclad. If it gets past your panel, Kentucky fries everything else in the house, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. Find me another out there that'll give you anywhere close to that guarantee. In fact, find me one that'll even cover you for $50. No, it ain't going to happen. And also, remember, if they got stuff for your car, your generator, all kinds of stuff. So if things jump off, you're out and about doing your thing, bam, lights go out. Look, your first thought should not be, doggone it, I was going to hit the liquor store. Or, man, I really like to go to the club to the night. Look, if that's your first thought, you need to be wrapped in the head with a tack hammer anyway. You need to be on the first thing smoking to your bug out place or to your house, wherever it is you need to go. The idea is not to go to the club. So, for all the people to say, well, I'm not even going to go into all that. Anyway, $50 off at EMP Shield, promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. All right. So main topic tonight here is finding the right tribe. So what made me think about all this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I spent a lot of time on other things in this podcast that I didn't intend to spend a lot of time on, but I think it was important. As far as finding your tribe, look, there's a lot of people reaching out right now for the holidays. I know things are tough. And what, Christmas falls on Monday, I guess?
Yeah, Monday.
I'm going to be broadcasting, y'all. How you like me now? And there's a reason for that. There's a lot of you people that write to me, and you don't necessarily have what you think is family. Or maybe you're estranged from family. Or maybe they are, you know, it could be like my family, my biological family, where we put the funk in dysfunctional. I mean, it could be people that just because they're family doesn't necessarily make them good for you. Yeah, there's a lot of folks out there that know exactly what I'm talking about. So how do you find these tribes? I'm going to bring them up again. Tag at Life Done Free. And the community, I was part of this community back in Kansas. And that is a family type community. They get together. They have basically work shares where they go to somebody's farm and they knock out a project. And then maybe next month they hit another farm to somebody that may or may not need it. So they build these communities, but everybody's always wondering, where do we start? I've been in the preparedness space for a long, long time. In fact, long before I even got into the permaculture space. And there's this, if you're finding your way, trying to figure out where your tribe is, maybe go find, and it's not always the best way to do it, but it is a good one. You can go to these festivals. You can meet some people. You can kind of, let's call it a date. So you kind of get to know them right off, and then you think, okay, did we like each other? Okay. Or it could be like whenever you go to some of these preparedness things, people from all the ones I've attended over the year, they tend to be a little more standoffish, which is normal because, you know, they have their own set of things. They want to make sure that they're making decent relationships. They're way more concerned about that sort of thing in the preparedness circles than they are in, let's say, the permaculture circles. In fact, in most permaculture circles, it's like, come on in. Yeah, want to rob me? Yeah, come on in. But people in the preparedness circles and in the homesteading circles, to a lesser degree, are a little more, they take a little more care. So find out where your local preparedness community is getting together. You could go to Meetup. I mean, there's a number of different places. And maybe you don't get into the core of that group. In fact, it's not a very good group if you get into the core of these people on your first meeting. So you go to their events. And one of the things that a lot of them gauge is actually who shows up. Who is the person that only shows up when they want something or when they got something to sell? Or who is the person that is a universal blessing to other people around them? That's what we figure out a lot. You're also going to find out in some of these groups, in the permaculture space less so, but in the preparedness space more so. And you're going to have what I call the eternal malcontents, the kind of people that could win the lottery tomorrow and they'd be complaining in a week. Am I wrong? I got a brother like
that. Yeah.
I got a brother like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He could win the lottery tomorrow and, man, I only ended up with half a billion. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's kind of like Eeyore with some of that stuff. But look, nothing will drain you quicker. Make absolutely sure that when you're building or making a tribe, maybe you're the person that's going to create this tribe of people with mutual assistance groups or whatever the case may be. One chronic complainer, and this was known all the way back when I was in the military, one chronic complainer can absolutely positively destroy every bit of morale you ever hope to build in a group. Just one. Just one. That's why I'm spending so much time on those people. That chronic complainer, and it's not a guy, it's not exclusive among guys, it's not exclusive among gals. Stay away from the chronic complainers. I don't care what they claim to bring to the table. I don't care if they have everything in the kitchen sink. If you have a person who is a eternal malcontent, chronic complainer, you will want.
Yeah, they're poison. They're just like poison. They're going to destroy morale for everybody. Just, yep. Yeah, get rid of them as quickly as possible.
Better still, don't even, when you're trying to assemble this group, find them out. And then in some of the projects that you do, here's where you really find out who your friends are. And here's where you really build your bonds, is that if you can go to one of these places, one of these groups, and they have an outing, take careful note of the people who actually work. Take careful note of the people who socialize. Take careful note of the people who actually put their hands on things. And most of all, make sure you notice the people that are chronic complaining. Man, if I had a nickel for as many times as that has bitten me in the butt. And like I said, it could be guys or girls. Good night. I mean, I don't even have the words. Or the person who shows up when it's time to spotlight. You know, we used to call them spotlight sappers in the Army. And those are the people that they're sandbagging until they think somebody's watching. The chronic complainers. Now, there's a whole lot of people out there that have a whole lot of know-how that they can do with their hands, but maybe they don't have a whole lot in terms of resources. There are 85-year-old grandmothers that I would take any day over a 30-year-old young man, any day of the week. Number one, for their sweet nature, sweet temperament. Hey, they might be able to help out with the cooking. They could pass that on to somebody else. There's other physical things they could do in the garden.
But also the knowledge that they have too.
Yep. But if it's a sandbagging person that you have to motivate, I'm not in the motivation business. And in fact, if you ever work with me, you're going to find out that, and it's not just me, there's a lot of other people that do this kind of work. You're not always going to hear please and thank you. It's not always going to be because we're efficient to a fault. So when we're out there doing, I'm like, hey, hand me that hammer, or hey, can you hand me that whatever? I don't know. It's not always going to be the easily offended people is what you got to worry about, is what I'm talking about. He didn't say please. Oh, is that right? Yeah, that sort of thing happens. The people that are easily offended, you can usually pick those out a lot of times. And then you're going to have the gossipers that want to cause mayhem among the other group members. The people, and it's usually the people that do the least, and they'll be the ones complaining about so-and-so doing this or not doing that. Look, at the end of the day, we had built communities before, some of them with family, some without. The only ones that were ever a success were the ones we did without family.
Right.
And I'm talking about extended family. Every single time, it was like a middle of a Snoop Dogg song. I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. So they'd come around when harvest would roll around, and then like, hey, where's mine? I'm like, oh, no, where you been? You show up at harvest, and now you think you got a share of it? Well, you know, okay, so then that dissolves too. Folks, I'm bringing this up right now because we're in that time of year where I know people are going to already be thinking, especially when you look at the nature of what's going on. Some people are new. You just got out of the matrix. I know because I hear from you. You write to me. You're just getting out of the matrix and you're like, good night, man. I'm living in an apartment. I just woke up. I'm able-bodied. I'm a hard worker. I can learn. I don't know where to start. I'll tell you what. If you're not bringing any assets to a group, you might want to make sure you bring a work ethic. Better still, if you can bring both. I'm bringing this up right now as far as finding the right tribe, is because that's how it was put to me in a question. How do I find my tribe? Well, starting at some of these events, there's a lot of them that go on. We talk about them all the time on the show. That's a good place to at least wet your beak, so to speak, as far as meeting people.
There's also a lot of local classes that you can start to get to know people that are close to you. Like if you have a certain interest, let's just say it's maybe mushrooms, you can find local classes where you go and somebody's teaching you how to identify mushrooms or whatever. Start with those, because you're going to find people around you at those local classes.
Yeah, you're going to also run into some freaks at mushroom classes too.
Well, there's also another group here that teaches building. They teach a whole bunch of different classes. So I just use that as an example. Like, it doesn't have to be mushrooms.
No, I got you. I mean, and that's a really good point too. It's It's things like maybe within those certain circles is where you're going to find, like, it's funny you bring up mushrooms because I'm actually considering going and joining the mushroom club they have here. Yeah, I can't wait to see what kind of burnouts I'm going to run into at that place. And no, I ain't going to be doing none of that stuff they did. And yeah, I'm not going to be doing any of those magic mushrooms. But the point being is that there are so many different ways you can find your way in the door. And I know a lot of people are freaking out because you're thinking, okay, time's short. Well, you know what? I thought time was short 20 years ago. And here we are. We got all the prognosticators of doom saying, hey, this thing's about to jump off. Some people giving very, very big dates as far as how we expect this stuff to unfold, all of which have been wrong. I've never been something of a date setter, but I've been wrong in where I thought this was going to go down. In fact, my man just got in the chat right now, Steve Denard, could probably tell you that. There's a whole lot of us out here that are shocked that it's as far along as it is. In fact, a lot of the prognosticators were saying that the 15th of this month, it was going to jump off. And here we are. So don't be so shocked. What I'm saying is don't be in such a big rush that you go out there, put yourself in a group because you thought it was going to happen tomorrow. We had made collectively some colossal mistakes because we thought it was further along. And I don't want you to have to relive my mistake. Take your time, get in there, date these people, so to speak. And when I say date, I mean, none of that freaky stuff. But what I'm saying is go in there, figure out what these people are all about, do some projects with them, and then you'll find out that within the larger groups, you'll find yourself gravitating into smaller groups where you connect with people. Sound like a plan, honey?
Yep.
That's exactly how we roll. All right, so before we, we typically go in the Chef Snow. Didn't get a download from him tonight, but, as always, it is a wonderful contribution from my man Chef Snow. He's taught a lot. Go check out harvesteating.com. Also, this segment of the show is brought to you by the texasboys.com. yeah, they're from my old stomping grounds down there in East Texas. They got a food forest in a box and it is the shiznit. I got some of that stuff planted outside, got some in pots inside, we got a pear that's kicking. And we got all kinds of good stuff from the Texas Boys. Now, promo code PERMA is going to get you 5% off of everything they got on their site. They got, you can buy beef over there. They got honey. They sent some of that honey butter. They got all kinds of good stuff over there. Anyway, good guys, highly suppressed. Got a real ballin' podcast called the Fearless Podcast. Go check them out. You'll be glad you did. TexasBoys.com. All right, so we're going to go into the Q&A here, and this one here, Michelle, go ahead and cue it up. And we're going to get to some of the questions in the chat as well. Here's a dude. I'm sorry, bro. I always mess your name up. I haven't heard from him in a while. And he says, long time no talk. So he says, been biohacking for 10 years. And apparently he has, because if you go to the YouTube channel that he and his wife have, it's all recorded in 432 Hertz. So when it comes to biohacking, the best way to do cold exposure is taking a sauna and then doing a cold shower or a cold plunge. That way you can stack another function, hot and cold therapy. You can do meditation, breathing, listening to the Bible, and grounding in the sauna, and like having a quintuple stack of goodness. Yeah, man, that's exactly what he's talking about. And then he gets in some of this other stuff that I don't know that I have enough time to read on here, but he makes a really, really awesome point regarding, I made some comments regarding some of the people regarding the pre-tribulation rapture type and how they are the people that are least reluctant to do any kind of preparedness because they think they're going to get out of here before things jump off. And I'm like, boy, what if you got it wrong? That doctrine only came around, 160 years ago? He makes a pretty good case that these people are actually bigger. They evangelize much better than the people that are post. And you know what? I think I agree with him. But at the same time, hey, you pre-trib folks, you might also consider that you might not have it right. So you might want to get some of that Heaven's Harvest storable food and grow some put some back yourself. Well, anyway, check this out. Bro, I don't know how to really pronounce your name because the vowels in there are kind of messing me up a little bit. But Yeah, there's a lot of vowels in there, not some, not vowels, but consonants. I'm sorry. And there's a lot of them together, and I'm not quite sure, but it begins with an M and ends with an S. Mathis? I don't even know how you go about pronouncing this.
Yeah, I think it's Mathis. I don't think you pronounce the J.
Well, check this out. We had him, we featured his wife on this show and some of their music like episodes ago. I'm talking like maybe 100 episodes ago. And you know how you never pay attention to something until you pay attention to it? You don't know the benefit of something. Now, they have been recording all of their music in 432. Had no idea. Had no idea, even though we played some of the music on here. And we're going to go ahead and cue up some of that right now. Now, before Michelle actually hits the play button on that, let me just say real quick, for those that don't know that are just tuning in, look, I guess you could say it's contentious to a certain extent. I think it was 1939, the Goebbels and a number of others basically got together and said, hey, instead of using these really healing frequencies, you know, like 444, 432, 528, we're going to tune our instruments to 440 hertz because it's very dissonant. Now, you get into things like the Schumann resonance of the earth when you get into 432 and some of these light frequencies, healing frequencies. Look, y'all, people can call it hogwash all they want. All I know is when I listen to a song that was recorded in anything other than 440, it is soothing. It is very, very, it's awesome. So why not do it? So with that said, we're going to play a little snippet of what they've come up with. All right. So, yeah, that was a little bit abrupt, and it didn't really quite.
Sorry about that. Go. It started pretty quick.
Yeah, I thought we were going to start it at another part of the song where there was actually. She's a fantastic singer. Sorry about the dog in the background, y'all. That will not happen again. I'm gonna put that little heathen outside next time. Anyway, the point being, is there are people out there that are producing music in some of these healing frequencies, and it's like right there on the album cover, recorded in 432. And the name of their YouTube channel, please go check them out because it's some really beautiful music, is Lavi Frost Music. And it's spelled L-A-V-I and then Frost. And then I think it's music. Anyway, it's on YouTube. So there's music on YouTube and other people doing it too. Now, I got to be honest with you, with some of the folks on YouTube, I'm a little bit concerned because some of these folks could be maniacs for all I know. I mean, they could be recording this thing. And I mean, at the end of the day, if Ronnie James Dio was recording in 432, would it make it any less satanic? I mean, would a rose by any other name not smell as sweet? I don't know. I'm sure that's not the way Shakespeare intended it, but I think you get the point. Michelle, what do you got for me?
We had a question earlier on. Somebody asked Beautyberry to deter mosquitoes, and I've not heard that, but that doesn't mean that's something I'll have to look into. I know the citronella plant is supposed to deter mosquitoes, but I'm not sure about Beautyberry.
I'm not sure on that one either. Let's jump to the next.
How hard to install EMP shield on a house?
Super easy, but I would get an electrician to go out there and do it for you. I mean, this is why I had a little bit of reluctance of doing a video about installing it. And well, I didn't have a problem with doing it because I did it out of SOE and we did a video of it. Super simple. You basically put it under a two pole breaker. I put it on the main, and there's other reasons why I do it that way. But anyway, you just take any two pole breaker, two pole 20 breaker in your panel, put it in there, and then you're off and running. But it's always safest to turn everything off. And if you don't know what you're doing, you may wind up getting Kentucky fried. And there ain't nothing I can do for you there. So you're going to have to probably hire an electrician unless you know somebody that's really, really capable of dealing with the electrons. Remember, what makes electricity so dangerous is that it's invisible. It's like radiation.
Last question. How is William doing in Texas? he said, we talked to him about his YouTube channel. That's supposed to be coming out pretty quick. So whenever it does come out, we'll provide a link to it. But it's my understanding they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, y'all, I had other questions here as far as people reaching out and stuff like that. And we got some weird, strange stuff that keeps going on around here in terms of electronic things. I mean, I can cue certain things up, and then all of a sudden they just disappear when I need them most. Look, I know I'm something of a Luddite when it comes to a lot of this stuff. Yeah, I know that I'm something of a serious Luddite, but doggone it, I know how to, you know, flag an email. Hey, Keith Snow's in the house. Yeah. So Chef Snow, check him out, y'all. You'll be glad you did. Oh my goodness. And Brett says, bring Milk Boy on the show with you. Bro,
we can't get him horse. Yeah, we can't get him to come in the house.
He won't, no, and he shouldn't, because he is a livestock guardian dog. It's gonna be cold tonight, and he's out there shielding all the, yeah. The worse it gets, the nastier the weather, the more he loves it. As long as it's cold, wet, rainy, nasty.
Cold.
Yeah. I said that one too. Yep. Cold, wet, rainy, nasty, you name it. He's there. He's on the spot, and he does what he does, y'all. Hey, want to thank thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll be back Thursday, Lord willing. And Christmas Day, we know everybody's out there doing their thing, but hey, you know.
If you don't have family, or if you have family that you don't want to be around, we'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here Christmas, or at least I'll be here. I'm not sure she's going to be. She may be all hopped up on pumpkin pie or whatever the case may be.
I don't know about hopped up.
Hey, thanks everybody in the chat. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. They don't want an individual, just a carbon copy. She's sitting at Manicotti. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze. Got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle. I'm a warrior.